Welcome to the Northridge Vineyard podcast. We're a real community of people who are passionate about pursuing God and growing in our relationship with Him. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information and other resources, please visit northridge.org.au.
Was that fun? Right. So we're going to test your memory to see if you remember that when you go to coffee. So hopefully you do, and you can follow up with that person more over coffee. So it's great to sort of hear the room buzzing. So awesome. So, yeah, so Andy's right. We're talking about money this morning. So, and the topic is don't worry about money. So, yes, there we go, slight delay. Don't worry about money. So the passage we're going to be reading from is Matthew 6, and it's what Jesus told us to do. And and it's a bit of a taboo topic in our culture, isn't it, talking about money? And it's an interesting one, and what I'm going to unpack today is why. So the passage we're going to be reading from is from when Jesus was doing what's famously known as the Sermon on the Mount. It was soon after he's baptized, and he did a lot of moral teaching. Cam shared last week on the Beatitudes, and that was also from when Jesus was doing that. So we're going to be hearing from Jesus today, because every word in the scripture passage today is Jesus' word, his direct word of what he said. So it's no paraphrasing from anyone else, but it is God's word through Jesus. So we're going to touch on that. But I thought, you know, I'm wondering if we're all a bit daring this morning. Who's feeling daring out there? Like, we just had some time sharing. Yeah, Andy's daring. Great, we've got one. So we've just had some time sharing, haven't we, about your week and your challenge. And I decided, well, probably didn't involve money. So what I was thinking if we could do now, a dare for you, is could you turn to the person next to you and tell them your income or your family income? Tell them... I'm daring you, it's a dare, we're going to do this, wink, wink. I dare you to also turn next to them and tell them your family budget, yeah? Tell them your family budget. And to really amp it up, who's daring enough to turn to the person next to them and share their one or two most regrettable purchases on their credit card this year? Who wants to do it? Are we squirming? Who's hands up, squirmers? Hands up, squirmers. So I did Alpha with Vera. If I was sitting next to Vera and I had to share that, I'd be squirming, right? It's countercultural, isn't it, to talk about money? But today, for about half an hour or so, we're going to do that. So you need to buckle up. Can everyone get their seatbelt and buckle in for me? Everyone do that and buckle in, right? Excellent. And we're going to talk about money. Let's go. Now, little known fact is Jesus spoke about money more than anything else in the Gospels. I don't know if you knew that. Just let that sit on you for a minute. Jesus spoke about money more than anything in the Gospels. It's interesting. I was listening to a talk from a well-known preacher called Timothy Keller, and he said, if I spoke about money in my church as much as Jesus did, I wouldn't have a church. And right? And he said, because it's a tricky topic. Humans make it a tricky topic, and it is. And he's right. You know, if he did do that as much as Jesus did, it would be tricky to keep a church. So we're not going to do that. Andy said he's not going to do that as much as Jesus did. So this morning I'm going to cover off a couple of things. I'm going to cover, in the spirit of transparency, how money works here. So I'm going to start with that, and we're going to get into that. And then I'm going to talk about the passage from Matthew 6 and what it told me, and hopefully it touches something with you. So let's go. Cool. So I'm also going to just pray for us, because of the trickiness of this topic in our culture, that we all have hearts to hear. And if I put a misstep wrong this morning and say something that offends you, I say sorry now and say that is not my intent. My intent is to speak out of love and try and speak what I think Jesus is telling me in this passage. And if I offend you, please don't leave this church. right? Come and talk to me about it. And if that's too scary to talk to me about offending you, please come and talk to Andy or Sarah about it and say, hey, what Dave said here really didn't sit well with me and I'm not comfortable to talk to him about it. Can I unpack that with you? Okay? Because Andy hasn't heard everything I'm going to share, so you can unpack anything with him.
So if I'm offended, Dave, who do I talk to?
Sarah.
Sarah. Yeah, okay, great. So let's go. So we've all got a lot of grace in the room. I want you to open your heart to what God's telling you today. And just if there's if something I say that triggers a nerve, just be cool with that and let it sit and wait to hear what God's telling you. Park that, and if you need to unpack it, unpack it with me. Cool?
Awesome.
Let's go. Okay. So let's read the passage together, shall we? Starting in verse 19. Don't store up treasures on earth. Moths and rust can destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. Instead, store up treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy them, and thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Next verse. Your eyes are like a window for your body. When they're good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. If the light inside you is dark, you are surely in the dark. You cannot be the slave of two masters. You will like one more than the other, or be more loyal to one than the other. You cannot serve God, both God and money. I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grain in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? Can worry make you live longer? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes, but I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the field, even though it is here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow. He will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. And then all the other things will be yours as well. Don't worry about tomorrow, because it will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today. So there's really four key themes in that section of the passage around treasures in heaven, around serving two masters, around not worrying, and then this weird little section about the eye of the body. So we might have a look into that a bit later and how that all fits together. But it's a big topic, right? As I said, it's a taboo in our culture, and it's not discussed often, is it? And a few minutes ago I raised this, you know, awkward question around transparency to share with the person next to you, and, you know, didn't make you do it, but it felt awkward, right? Yeah? Anyone didn't feel awkward? Anyone didn't feel awkward? Oh, no, Ben's all good. Excellent. So, Ben, how much do you want? just joking. But look... really what I wanted to touch on is two key topics. I want to, in the spirit of transparency, which I think God calls for with money, is actually share how this church runs and how money works at this church, just so everyone's aware. And so I've worked on that and I've got some stuff to share with you around that. And then we'll unpack the passage together. So let's have a look in the spirit of transparency with how things work. So... You might have asked yourself two questions since you joined this church, and we are a new church. We started two years ago. We started, so everyone here is new, at least in the last 2 years. And you might have asked yourself two questions. What do we spend our money on here? It's a fair question. And, you know, how are things funded? So, and before I do, I just wanted to point out the governance behind that with the church that we're part of. So we're part of three communities, yeah? Three communities. And we're not a separate church. We're part of Northridge, Vineyard, and there's three communities. There's a Thornleigh morning community, there's an evening community, and there's the Hornsby community. So presiding over those three communities is one board. There's a board with some very senior people on it who've done this stuff before and done it for many years. Actually, I was on it for a period of time and took off when we had kids. And so what that board does is they approve a budget for the year, right, of what can be spent. They manage the finances and they get reports each month, each quarter, and they meet. And they also, not like a lot of churches, we get an annual external audit. So every year our audit firm comes in and audits the books and records of the company. We run it in an accounting system and it gets audited. So there's a lot of governance around how we do things. And I just wanted you to be aware of that, that it's not a mystery. It's run from a governance perspective like a business. And really, I think the point is, whilst it's done all that businessy stuff, they do aim to make sure that the money that they're planning out is aligned to the vision of what the church is wanting to do. Yeah. So it's not divorced from what we're wanting to do. And you know, hands up if you know what our vision here is. Yeah? Hands up? Yeah.
I'd like to think I did.
Oh, right, yeah. So Andy, just to let everyone know what our vision here is. It's something about disciples and making disciples.
That's right.
From people from all nations in Hornsby, is it?
That's it.
Yeah, so that's what we do, right? Our vision is that, right? And the money sits on the side as an enabler of making that happen. So that's what we do. Our vision is to be a group of disciples living together, encouraging one another along and making disciples of all nations in Hornsby. That's what we do. And so before we get into all the money stuff, that's the important thing to remember. That's the goal and that's the objective, yeah? So let's have a look. So, our monthly expense budget here in the Hornsby community. So it's $8,100 that we budget to spend that's been approved by the board for this year. And that's made up of various different things, including staff costs, some training, some conference attendance, rent here where we're sitting today. Yeah, we rent this off Studio Arts, and we pay for that. There's some costs of running the different ministries, so things such as kids ministries. There's supplies for kids ministries. There's one very small example. Yeah, office supplies. So, you know, the paper that we print things on, the banners, the posters, all that sort of stuff. Flyers we give out. All that sort of stuff is in that. And equipment. So We're very slowly building an equipment base of, you know, music gear. Some of it's home funded and some of it's church funded around running church. It's not going to be, you know, all fully done by the end of the year. We're doing it progressively as we can enable ourselves. So that's the budget. Now, there's a lot of detail behind that budget, and you are very welcome if you want to see that detail and are interested to ask myself, ask Andy, ask Sarah, and you can see as much detail around what's behind that number as you want. Yeah, but that's what we do. So the question is, okay, where does the money come from? Good question. So many of us here give into the church, and there's really two ways of giving, and I'll touch on that in a moment. There's a box out on the welcome table, a little gold box, I think it is. I don't know because we do the other one. Claire and I do EFT. So. And many of us are giving in. Now, I think the key point to know is we wouldn't have, Andy, Sarah, myself, wouldn't have a clue who's giving and who's not. We wouldn't have a clue who's giving $2 a week and who's giving $2,000 a week. We don't know that, yeah? And it runs through an accountant at the Thornleigh community, and they keep that confidential. So some people don't put, when they do EFT, their name on it. But those who do, that information's not shared. So it's between you and God, yeah? And I think that's the important thing is giving, and I'll share some of that a bit later, giving is an individual decision that you need to make in your heart with God. You're not going to hear a model from me or a model from Andy on what our expectation is. Our expectation is that we're all generous people and we ask God what he's wanting us to do with our finances end to end, yeah, not just with our giving. So that's our budget. And the first thing we do is we reserve an amount of money to give away, yeah? And so we reserve approximately 10% of what we get in to give away. Now, and some examples of that from the Thorn Lee community who's been running for 20 years is Kairos Prison Ministry. So they put funds in and help fund people to make Kairos Prison Ministries happen, where some Christians go in and try and speak about Jesus to that. So there's one example. Got a Kairos guru over here to the right. Another thing you may or may not have heard of from a community which I'm passionately wanting to stay connected to as we grow is this thing called Storehouse. There's this thing at Thorn Lee community called Storehouse where a lot of our money goes into buying clothes and giving them to families in this community who are financially unable to buy the right stuff for their kids. So school clothing, winter clothing, books, pens, papers. So there's a thing called Storehouse which is run by predominantly retirees and makes that happen, and people come in and they love on them and give them that stuff. That's another thing we do with our money at Thorn Lee. And then there's another thing that Thorn Lee's been connected to for many years around connecting with an Indigenous community in regional New South Wales and giving into what they're doing there and helping them and sending a crew up every now and then to visit them, love on them, and also give them some practical stuff. So we've only been running for about a couple of years now, and it's a if you've ever launched a church before, and there's only one person in the room and one in kids' church who's done it, it's pretty full on. So at the moment, we've just been keeping that as a reserve because we've been really focused on, you know, making this community grow. So that's a reserve waiting for us and under Andy and Sarah's leadership to decide how to give that away, but it has been reserved, yeah? So then you're going, well, Dave, that doesn't add up. Dave, you've made a mistake. It doesn't add up. Like, Greg's already spotted it, I'm sure, being in a finance guy as well. The other cool thing is, because we've launched out of an established community that's been here for 20 years, they've pledged us $1,800 a month this year to cover the expense budget. Yeah? So each month, our expenses are around about that, and we're getting net of reserving for us to give away around $6,300, which is fantastic, and thank you that you're being so generous with your money. And then there's another $1,800 that's coming from a church that's been established and has the capacity to help us do that. So that's how we balance the budget. Far better than the Australian government balances the budget, I tell you. So I wish I could get my hands on it, but Claire doesn't like Canberra. Okay, so. So then the next question is, okay, so how are we going versus this target of $7,000 a month? And so we're a little bit under, but I'm a glass half full guy. And the glass is more than half full. So we're getting $6,000 roughly a month in the last 3 months from the people who give dedicated into this community. And so yes, it's, you know, and it's nothing to panic about, but yeah, it's a little bit short of the target. But the cool thing is, to give you some more transparency, Thorn Lee community raised as a special gift back in 2018 $50,000. So they did a call, they said, we're launching, we want to make this happen, we want to plant a foot and a root. And so over a couple of weeks, literally 2 weeks, $50,000 was donated into a reserve for us. And so it's really such a blessing. And so we've used around about $20,000 of that so far last year. And you know, if giving stays at $6,000 a month this year, that special giving will see us through on our expense plan for this year. So that's exciting. So you could go, wow, Dave, how are we ever going to get to nine? And I say, well, I don't know. I just read in a passage just five or 10 minutes ago that God said, don't worry about tomorrow, because today's got enough problems of its own. So for today and for this year, the cool thing is, from that special, awesome kickstart we've had from Thorn Lee, we can cover our costs, and if we get more giving, we give it away and we make things and we grow the church more. So this is not a fundraiser drive today. This is a open spirit of transparency to show you that there isn't a big sack of money under Andy's bed. Well, not from here at least. So I don't know how he does his personal finances. We haven't checked in on that. But yeah, there isn't a big private sack of money that Andy knows, and he knows who's giving and he's keeping it. It's not how it works. It's very open, it's very transparent, and that's how we do it at church. So I just wanted to share that with you all so you've got an understanding of that. So before I move on back into the passage, rather than make the whole day about giving, we really wanted to get into not worrying about money. And I've got a little handout here for you all, and I don't want you to read it now. Can you all promise me, yeah? Can you all promise me not to read it now? Ben? Yeah, Elena, you're promising me? So I'm going to give you a handout on how money works here and how giving works and what our heart is. And actually, this is really well written by a guy I respect a lot, who you'll never guess who that is. So this has been written really amazingly on what our philosophy is on giving, because I could take 2 hours to go through that, but I'm not going to today. I want to talk about how we worry about money personally in our life. But take that away. If you've got any questions about this, definitely chat to Andy, chat to Sarah, and you're welcome to chat to me as well, because apparently I know a bit about money. So can you all grab one of them, keep it, and fold it up so you don't read it now, Cameron Williams. Right, so excellent. And if you have any questions about that, please come and see Andy or I at the end, and we're very welcome to chat about that more if you need to. Cool. And just to close that off, just if I haven't said it once, I've said it twice, so now I'm going to say it 3 times, yeah? Giving is a personal decision between you and God, and it's something you need to decide and make an active decision about what you do and what you don't do and where you give your money, yeah? And I'll leave that between you and God and if you have a partner, your partner. Cool. Okay, back to the text. So, Jesus on the hill. Sermon of the Mount. There's a lot there. And Andy said, I can't go till 3. So he said, you're not allowed to unpack all 4 parts, Dave. All right, I said, okay. I won't unpack all 4 parts. So I decided, in the interest of morning tea and looking after the kids' church leaders, to really unpack, I think, the thing in this passage that probably off the face of it is a bit odd, yeah? So we started out, we read the passage, and it spoke about treasures in heaven and treasures on earth, and where is your treasure is, your heart is, yeah? I think reasonably, you could unpack it, but reasonably straightforward to take where that's at for you and have a think about whether that struck a nerve for you going, oh, actually, that's a problem for me. Sam, we'll touch on that later. I think also reasonably straightforward is serving 2 masters and what that means and, you know, who are you honestly when you're in the room on your own serving more? Yeah? And you know. I don't need to know, but you know. So I don't think we need to unpack that too much today. And the text was very long on worrying about money, and I'm not going to unpack that all in detail at all today as well, because I think when you read that text and read it again to yourself, it is pretty straightforward around, because you can be really 2 ends of the spectrum in my view. You can be treasuring it, serving 2 masters and going too hard after it, or you can be worrying too much about it. So what I'm going to focus on is this weird little bit. It sort of feels like it was a mistake when you first read it, jammed in the middle there about the eye, right? So let's have a look at that again and read it slowly together. Your eyes are like a window for your body. When they're good, you have all the light you need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. If the light inside you is dark, then surely you're in the dark. So I quickly want to show you a 40-second clip on how the eye works. I'm sure we all know, but just a quick 40-second refresher course. Because I think knowing that helps unpack the passage.
With normal, healthy vision, everything you see is clear and in focus. Many people refer to this as 20/20 vision. You can see all objects clearly, whether they are close up or in the distance. This is a normal, healthy eye. In order to see, there must be light. Light reflects off an object and enters the eye. The light passes through the clear covering of the eye, called the cornea. that helps focus light through the pupil. Next, the light passes through the eye's crystalline lens, which constricts to help light rays focus on one point of the retina, resulting in clear vision.
A little bit more helpful now? Yeah, just going, okay, right, that's how the eye works. It's all about light. To see, light has to reflect off something. Yeah? So, coming back to the passage again, look, I'm going to read it faster. Your eyes are like a window of your body. When they're good, they have all the light they need. But when your eyes are bad, everything is dark. If the light inside you is dark, then surely you're in the dark. So I think what God's trying to say to us here is, there's a lot of sin in our life that's very clear when you're committing that sin, yeah? If you're committing adultery, it's pretty clear. Yeah, you don't have to go, oh, am I committing adultery or not? It's pretty clear you're committing adultery, yeah? If you fill up the petrol and just drive off without paying, it's very clear when you hop back in the car that you've stolen petrol, yeah? But I think what God's trying to say here is you can be blinded by money. You can be blinded by money. You can think you see clearly and you think it's not a problem for me. Yeah, it's not a problem for me. But it probably is, yeah? Because, you know, our relationship with money is prone to blindness. Yeah, it really is prone to blindness around money, around treasure, around greed, and about worry. I think, you know, we rationalise it away, and we don't. And I don't often enough, even today. You know, I'll admit to you, I don't often enough examine my financial habits in the full light of God. I don't. I need to do it more. And the reason we don't, I think, is, in this world, in this culture, in this materialist culture, you know, hands up if you don't know someone who earns more than you. Yeah? Right, so everyone knows someone who earns a lot more than them, yeah? Yeah, you know someone who earns significant amount more than you, right? And then I also, and that person's come straight into your brain right now and you go, yeah. I don't have a problem with money, look at them. And then I want you to also think about, well, you know I make a few crazy purchases every now and then, but X or Y, they're so frivolous with their money, they just spend like crazy. So I don't have a problem with money, they do, yeah? And I think that's what God's talking about in this passage is it's so easy for us to find someone to say they have a problem, I don't, yeah? And the point is it's not about everyone else. It's about you and God and where you're at with God and what your hearts are doing. And where your treasure is, and where your worry is, and who you're serving. So that's what I think this part's about, and I think it's the most important part of bringing all these different concepts together. So think about that. Do you rationalise it away? You know, X earns more than me. They're the crazy money people going after it, and Y spends more. We quickly justify. And, you know, we want to keep up with the Joneses, don't we? Yeah? Let's have a look here. So all these girls here, off to the shops, all got the same jackets, same hat, you know, buying similar things so they can look the same. And it'd be fair to say that God made us to want to belong, yeah? God made us to want to belong. He did. That's how we're made. We're meant to live in community together. But the question is, when it comes to money, are we doing this too much? Are we making choices with our money that's just over the top in wanting to fit in with the people next to us? And Claire was listening to a talk recently about the Joneses and keeping up with the Joneses, and it spoke about, you know, it's very subtle. It blinds you, which is this passage, yeah? And it talks about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses isn't looking in the driveway next to you and saying, wow, they own a BMW, we must buy a BMW, yeah? It's not that. It's far more subtle. It blinds you. And it looks like, you know what, Well, and the statistic says that if three of your friends or people in your circle are doing the same thing, you're statistically more likely to want to do that too and make that choice to do that. So here's someone with three of their friends making a choice to look trendy, look cool, do all that sort of stuff, and statistically the fourth person's there. So the question is, statistically, you know, have you been in those circles, at those barbecues, where people talk about the overseas holiday? And you go, well, we need to do that. You know, we've got to get that advantage and that in our life as well. Like, we don't want to miss out, yeah? Or is it, you know, something even more close to home? Is it your kids? Do you hear about, X and Y are doing, X, Y and Z are all doing this with their kids after school. They're putting them in this kind of activity. We better do that too. Yeah? So ask yourself, you know, is that happening? Are you a Jones? Often we're not, but sometimes we are. And we've got to keep an eye on it, I think. So, and, you know, I'll give you an example. So yesterday I had to go to Macquarie Centre. So here's where I wasn't keeping up with the Joneses. So I had to buy a new suit, right, yesterday, unfortunately. But suits are really expensive. And the reason I had to buy a suit is, embarrassingly, my suit blew out on Thursday at work during the day. So, yeah, a bit embarrassing, that's right, Lucy. And it blew out in a spot you don't want it to blow out in. So I said to Claire, we're going to have to, I know, look, it's a big cost, we're going to have to buy a new suit on the weekend, and we had to, and it was a big cost, right? But about a year and a half ago, I went and bought this jacket, yeah? This trendy jacket, yeah? I didn't need it. I did not need this jacket. I had plenty of jackets, but I bought it because I really liked it, and I wanted to up my trend style at the office and look a bit more the role of a CFO. That is the reality, right? I did, and I love that jacket, and I wear it a lot. If you've been to table group with me, you've seen this jacket a lot, right? Hands up if you've seen this jacket a lot. Yeah, it looks magnificent. Right? It looks so good. I was almost going to wear it today, and in fact, you'll see I actually... Leo took that photo this morning for me. And my question is, I've got a thumbs up and a thumbs down there, haven't I? And my question to myself has got to be, okay, what was my motivation for that? Yeah, and truly, my motivation was exactly what I've just shared with you all. But the question is, how often am I making those decisions? Yeah? So, you know, once off every now and then, again, is that okay? You might say no. Some people might be right up here on the spectrum going, no, Dave, that was wrong, even if it's once off. Other people will be like, oh, if you're only doing it once a year, Dave, that's okay. Others will say once a week's okay. So you've got to work out with you and God where you're at and your motivation behind where your money is going and lay it before God. And that, for me, is really what I want you to take away, is one thing. One thing is, don't be blinded by money. Don't rationalise it away as not a problem for you. But take it before God, like everything else. Yeah? And, you know, when you do, you know, think about these things. Where is your treasure at? Ask God. Ask God to show you. And we're going to do that in a moment. So I decided I wouldn't go back to the question at the beginning and ask you to share your income and your budget and your jacket expenditure with the person next to you. We're not going to do that, but I'm going to do a guided reflection in a moment where you can spend some time reflecting on these things with God. Yeah, one-on-one with some music playing on where is your treasure? Who are you serving moment by moment? And how much are you worrying about money? And is it too much? Yeah, so we're going to go through that. And I just encourage you to think about it this way, yeah? So I think what happens is a lot of us, or me at least, right? A lot of things I give to God with an open hand, yeah? I give, you know, my family, my kids, my struggles, my sin with an open hand, yeah? But in this culture, I sometimes catch myself holding on to the security of money. I catch myself doing it. I don't know about you. And the question is, you know, God wants us, you know, we can't create our own security. Our security, you know, flying around on this little ball of rock at 20 million miles an hour around the earth, our security can't be money. Our security's got to be God. And it's something you've got to do regularly and again in practice with God. So that's an encouragement. So what we're going to do now is a little reflection on these things. So it's going to be about 5 or 6 minutes and then we'll be out for kids' church. So what I want you to do is just get comfortable with where you are. Yeah? Try and block out the people next to you. And I'm going to ask you to Close your eyes. And I'm going to guide you through a one-on-one conversation with God on three things. So take a deep breath now. And imagine you're in a room with God. It's a cold, wet, rainy day, just like today. And it's a nice little room. The fire's on and it's warm. And it's inviting and God wants to be there with you. And there's no condemnation in the room. And the first of the three things that God wants to say to you is, your heart will always be where your treasure is. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve me and money, God says. So you sit in that room for a moment. You let that wash over you and you say to God, God, help me see the parts and areas of my life where I've put money ahead of you. So reflect on that now. Sit with God now and see what your heart feels in response to this. Just as you're wrapping that little conversation with God up. And if you haven't wrapped it up, you say you're going to meet Him again tonight and do it again. But thank Him for showing you, for His love, and that He's promised that there's no condemnation and no guilt. Give it to Him now. Without guilt, in that warm, inviting place where He loves you. And then get ready for our second reflection. So take another breath. You shift in your seat. God shifts in His seat. And He then moves the conversation on. And He points the finger, His finger, towards your eye. And He says, your eyes are like a window to your body. If the light inside you is bright, you have all the light you need. If it is dark, then you are blind to the light. And you know exactly what He means because you're at Hornsby that day and you quickly ask God to help you see right now the moments that you've been blind to the ways of the worldview on money and letting it creep into your decision making. So be still now and hear what He shows you. So as you're wrapping that up, keep seeing it, keep seeing the pictures, keep seeing what He's seeing. Take it as encouragement to step forward. Tomorrow's the first day of the rest of your life. Be still. And in closing, thank God for the graceful way He has shined a light on these things now. And ask Him to show you a new way to focus on money through His lens. Say it to Him. Say it to Him. God, show me your lens. Show me your lens. And then finish that. And last but not least, sense of urgency in God increases, and he's on the edge of his chair, and with passion, he says, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. I know what you need. Can worry make you live longer? Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. He desperately wants you to hear that and know that, that he has you. So sit with him now and release your worries to him. And just close off now the conversation and look at God's face. He's smiling. And just as you're about to go, with a glad and peaceful heart, you say this. God, help me leave this room with a real sense of your care and provision in my life. Help me to truly know that everything I have is from you. Give me strength and courage not to worry. Sow a seed of generosity in my heart and show me how to be joyfully generous with all the money that you give me. And God said, Amen. Slowly come back. If you need to linger, linger. I think if you are one of a duo and you could release the kids, that would be awesome. But if you want prayer, we don't need specifics. If you want prayer, we don't need specifics. We'll pray with you. If you have questions about anything, Andy and I'll be here. But bless you. God really wants to bless you. Enjoy your day and